This is a special report from ABC News Georgia election case. I'm Brian Clark. A judge is allowing the district attorney who brought the election interference case against former President Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants to stay on the case. The defense said she should be disqualified because of her romantic relationship with a prosecutor.
In a 23-page ruling, Judge Scott McAfee offers DA Fonnie Willis two options. She can step aside from the case or remain on it, but only if she dismisses Nathan Wade, the member of her team with whom she had a relationship. McAfee says Donald Trump and his co-defendants did not prove that Willis financially benefited by dating Wade, but he says the pair did appear to have lied about their coupling. He says, quote, an odor of mendacity remains. And he says Willis's public claim that her relationship with Wade was raised for racial reasons was, quote, legally improper.
That's ABC Stephen Portnoy. Either side could appeal the judge's decision. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Catholic charity has to pay state unemployment taxes because its on-the-ground operations are not primarily religious. That's according to a ruling yesterday from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The ruling regards the Catholic Charities Bureau based in Superior. The organization's lawyers say they plan to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. A bill to let more kinds of businesses own electric vehicle charging stations in Wisconsin awaits action from the governor. Environmentalists say EV drivers could recharge at all different kinds of places.
It could be a gas station. It could be a grocery store or a restaurant.
Beata Wersba is with Renew Wisconsin. Wisconsin would also get $78 million from Washington to build fast-charging EV stations every 50 miles. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Turkey hunters will have a chance to get bonus harvest authorizations for the 2024 season. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced it will begin selling bonus authorizations for the spring turkey season starting on Monday. Interested hunters can get the extra authorizations through the Go Wild license portal or through a licensed sales agent. The authorizations will be sold at $10 for residents and $15 for non-residents, and each zone will have a designated sale date. A Duluth teacher has been accused of inappropriately touching a student. 48-year-old John Horgensheimer, a music teacher at Duluth Edison Rally Academy, was charged with criminal sexual conduct for allegedly touching a 12-year-old female student's chest in the school's stairwell on March 5th. The student reportedly then escaped and told another teacher what had happened. Horgensheimer made his first appearance in court on Wednesday, where a St. Louis County judge set his bail at $75,000. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Badgers with a big win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin faces Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Badgers eliminated Maryland 87-56. Wisconsin with a season-high 16 three-point shots to build an early lead. Head coach Greg Gard.
You know, I see these guys every day in every drill and every workout, so I know we've got good shooters. Don't beat yourself up mentally. You have to keep playing and keep playing aggressively.
NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers 114-105. Doc Rivers relieved to get the win at home.
Probably they wanted to get home. We wanted more rest, if you know what I mean. This is one of those trap games. First game back, guys are banged up. I was very concerned about this game tonight.
NFL, A.J. Dillon will be back with the Pack. The 25-year-old running back has signed a qualifying deal that will essentially pay him around $1.4 million on a one-year prove-it deal if he makes the roster. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mm-hmm. It is going to be sunny today with a high of 53 this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming west at 5 to 15. Tonight, breezy, 38 tomorrow, mostly cloudy, windy, cooler, 47. And then it's going to get even colder Sunday, windy, partly cloudy with a high Sunday of only 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey, what's up now? Brother, what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Stop right on.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we've been talking about, you know, what's going on in this nation, and there's so many things that are changing, and I believe changing for the worse, and I believe that where the nation is headed, Sandy, after our generation, you know, is long since moved from the scene, there are just some things that are going on that just, Sandy, make me pause and wonder, you know, what has happened? And here's one. A Missouri law bars divorce during pregnancy, even in cases of violence. So what it basically states is the statute, which can lead to reproductive coercion in a state that has banned abortion, has recently gained nationwide attention. In the state of Missouri, this woman, at 6 months pregnant, decided enough was enough. She had endured years of abuse from her husband and had recently discovered he was also physically violent towards her child. She contacted an attorney to help her get a divorce, but she was stopped short. Her lawyer told her that she could not finalize a divorce in Missouri because she was pregnant. Sandy, you want to help me with that one?
Well, I mean, this is a case, you know, we have conservatives. Conservatism used to basically be coincident with the notion of libertarian, smaller government, less intrusive government. This is the definition of intrusiveness, a government that's making decisions. We have a government now that wants to make decisions essentially in the bedroom, in the hospital room, and now we've got it in the kitchen or the dining room. A couple that's experiencing abuse, a woman experiencing abuse from a husband, can't escape from the marriage because she's burdened with his child. It's crazy. You know, it sounds like something closer to what people would talk about in Sharia law, some religious kind of law that would ban such things. And now we're embodying them in our state laws and federal laws. It's astounding and it's worrisome. And it's part of this trend we were talking about, I think, which is religion using government as a tool to try to reverse the process of a world or a country in which fewer people are identifying themselves as religious, not saying they changed their values, but they've maybe changed their affinity towards religion.
You know, Sandy, at the root of all of these, and this is a crazy thing, right? I don't know how some person comes up with the idea.
Well, you have to have children. You can't have an abortion. You have to have the child. Now you have to have the child and bring it into an abusive household, potentially, because that sounds like even a worse opportunity. And you know, of course, we also have a situation in which you must have the child, but after the child is born, we don't have a whole system of child welfare that the government is there ready to support, and nor is the conservative movement apparently moving in the direction of trying to support the expenditures necessary to provide that.
But, Sandy, when some lunatic who's been elected to office comes up with a crazy idea like that, and you would think that whether they're Democrats or Republicans, somebody would say, hey, Sandy, what are you talking about, man? That doesn't make any sense. Instead, they can't. People won't push back against nonsensical ideas. That's a nonsensical idea that should have never passed.
Well, we talk about the MAGA Republicans and the danger that they pose to people in terms of having opposition. I think the same is true, essentially, with respect to the evangelicals. If you oppose the positions they take, it's a very strident group, and you might find yourself with opposition at the local level at that point. So if you're an assembly person, now you've got to run in a primary against somebody because you decided to stand up and analyze this bill that was being proposed and sponsored on their behalf. And it's the chilling effect of very strident minorities. I think this started with the Tea Party and their capacity to have an interim sort of chilling effect on people. And the policy has been adopted and used in spades by the NRA, by evangelicals, and now by MAGA.
So I remember the Tea Party fondly now. It wasn't fondly then.
Yeah.
But the Tea Party was nowhere near as threatening as MAGA and as this group. The Tea Party had certainly and pushed for people to be Republicans to be a little more forceful.
Well, I think the Tea Party was sort of...
But not to destroy government,
Sandy. It was sort of a headless horseman. It didn't really have a leader. It was a grassroots movement. It did, however, threaten to run and did run people against people in primaries to the extent that they didn't follow the policies that were being pursued. But it was strictly a policy-based organization. And, you know, it was hard to criticize in that respect. It was very effective. But the tools they've used... Maybe they learned it from the NRA. Maybe they learned it from some of the others who have used it earlier. But it basically is designed to create political third rails, things that people are afraid to touch because it might cost them their job.
You know, I'll come to a point, Sandy, where, you know, a little bit more. Under Missouri's statute that has recently gained nationwide attention, every practitioner for divorce is required to disclose their pregnancy status. What, Sandy? What? In practice, experts say those who are pregnant are barred from legally dissolving their marriage. The application of the law is an outright ban, said Danielle Drake, attorney at Parks and Drake. When Drake learned her then husband was having an affair, her own divorce was stalled because she was pregnant. Two other states have similar laws, Texas and Arkansas. Sandy, there's something going on. And these are Republican states. Why is it always the Republican state, Sandy?
Well, Republican-controlled state, so, you know,
right.
We could probably say the same about Wisconsin. I guess you have to have a Republican governor to sign the law to get it to make it happen. I don't know. Like I said, I think it has to do with the power of a particular movement that has a value system that is driven in the direction of meddling in those kind of issues. It's being done in the name of family, but, you know, just like I said last show, I think, most of the civil rights impediments that have been put into or the intrusions into our civil rights are done in the name of national security. And most of these intrusions into personal liberties are done in the name of for the preservation of family. And it's ironic, you know, and I think, to be honest with you, it's hypocritical.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have first, Luke?
Yeah, we got Jeannie and Claire calling in now.
Hey, Jeannie, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Well, thank you so
so much. And boy, this is a new note that I haven't caught yet. I cannot believe this. This is so barbaric, what they are doing to women. There is no Leave It to Beaver. You know, we all were raised on Leave It to Beaver. And when any family had any kind of dysfunction whatsoever, even dangerous kinds of families, you know, everybody felt like failures. But there are some people who cannot be in families. There are some people who are dangerous to other people, to children, to women, to men. I mean, they need to have their head examined. They need to have a psychological evaluation before they're even put in office. This is so dangerous to people, to children, to families, to women, and it's like into society. Thank you for bringing this up, Earl. Another reason not to sleep at night. I can't believe this. This is so dangerous. And who in the devil do these people think they are? They have no backgrounds in sociology, psychology, family, living, and medical decisions. These guys are sick, and I really hope women, you get your butts out there. It's not a Democratic or Republican issue. It is barbaric, and it is unsettling, and people need to wake up for this. Thank you so much, you guys. I better call before I say too much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, it is this path that we're going down just gets worse all the time. You know, lawmakers certainly have a responsibility to create laws that are sensical. All of us know that we can't run a society without being governed, right? There has to be a governing body in order for there to be a society, I think, at all. But Sandy, these kinds of things, some guy reaches for a straw and he pulls this straw and he says,
well, look, if you couple this trend towards being intrusive and meddlesome into personal decisions with a trend towards wanting authoritarian government, just put those two things together and visualize what that could mean in the future. And it's terrifying. You know, it's so much against the notion of individual freedom, which you would think would be the conservative drive to magnify individual freedom. But what's happening is just the opposite.
844-967-2789 is the number. Love to hear your thoughts. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right on. Right on.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260, WLAK Amory.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental Health Care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And CJ, as I live and breathe. Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. You know, you can find judges' decisions all over the country that'll make you shake your head. And for the judge to allow Fannie Willis to still be in this case is a joke when they both perjured themselves. Nathan Wade, her lover, went on trips with taxpayers' money. It's just a joke. And the judge that's forcing this woman to have the baby at 6 months, I guess I would like to know, and President Trump came out, he believes that the policy should somewhere be between 13 and 15 weeks restrictions with exceptions for rape and incest. So I would be curious to know what your gentleman restrictions are. Is it beyond that? Like Chuck Schumer,
you're talking about a lot of different things.
CJ, you're conflicting a lot of different things. CJ, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a baby? I've never had one.
You know,
and I can't have one. And Earl, have you
no, ever absolutely not.
I think that three gentlemen talking about this issue is the inappropriate nature of the discussion. Okay.
Well,
I think this is a woman. I think this is a women have babies. Women bear children, and I think that it's really a decision that needs to be made in many respects by women. And so I think the hypocrisy that you mentioned about the judge really relates to the notion of three gentlemen talking about this issue as if we're in control of it.
Well, I am a father.
Well, so fathering is a lot different, okay?
Sandy, can I finish a response once with you?
Well, so
maybe.
Can I please finish a response?
I'm not sure.
So CJ.
Yeah.
So CJ,
quite obvious.
CJ, you talked about three different things. You talked
what
about
are your restrictions, Earl.
Hey, CJ, you talked
what
about
your...
CJ. First off, you know, I'd much rather have the conversation about Fannie Willis. So you put that out there, and then you took off into two other areas, and so I'm going to talk about the Fannie Willis thing. You're outraged at the decision the judge made. Why?
Because they both perjured themselves on the stand. This is a political attack. They aren't
a political attack on Donald Trump.
About it, and I go,
hey, CJ, a political attack on Donald Trump.
We've seen it all over with all of these cases, haven't we? This was a joke. This is a joke.
Well, CJ, if it's a joke, you know, she's still on the case, and he's still facing. You know, I don't think it's a joke, and he doesn't think it's a joke.
Well, let me ask you this: if it's a joke, first of all, I'm not privy to all the facts, just like you aren't. But do you think it was appropriate for Donald Trump to call the Secretary of State of Georgia? Do you think that call was an appropriate call, or do you think it was sketchy at least?
More guardrails. you know.
What do you mean a guardrail? I'm asking a question. You're saying that the prosecution is a joke. The prosecution relates to some conduct of Donald Trump that was specific, some of which we know directly about, some of which we don't because it was part of the grand jury proceeding and we don't know. But do you think it was appropriate for him to make that call to the Secretary of State of Georgia?
You cover four topics and then you finally let me call. So I try to discuss all of them. So the mere fact that, you know, I want to know what your guys' restrictions are. So you don't think men should have a say in what
hey, is CJ, thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
You know, it's nonsense. And so I don't want to waste any more time with him. Sandy, we're at this point where these things are going to be worse. They're going to get worse. They're going to continue. And unless there is some major shift in the mindset of people who are elected, these elected officials, and many of them now, and as Luke talked about, younger elected officials, some of these younger elected officials are coming in with this kind of thing because they're jumping on the bandwagon with these crazy ideas because, you know, it gets them notoriety, right? I mean, you know, you don't have anything else to do, so you come up with something crazy. And, you know, I see it in Madison. You listen to some of the ideas. This is why this thing continues to grow. There'll be people in Madison who will look at this, what happened in Missouri, and they're going to bring that up in Wisconsin. It's copycat kind of stuff that is happening.
Well, it's a lot easier than solving the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary, okay? The issues that relate to the people of this country in terms of their daily lives and the difficulties they face in their daily lives. And this kind of an issue has little to do with it other than to complicate their daily lives and to potentially make them more difficult. It doesn't have to do with the kind of government policy that can relate to improving the life of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And that's what troubles me with so much of the political agenda today and all these so-called social issues that have nothing to do with improving the life of the bulk of Americans, the vast majority of Americans who are in the middle and below the middle of the middle class and who face daily issues, living paycheck to paycheck and having all the budgetary issues they have that relate primarily to the way they receive benefits.
And I'll say this, 844-967-2789. On the other side, Sandy and I are going to have a conversation about whether or not our nation can continue down the path that it's been going for a long time. We're going to be the police of the entire world. We are going to do all these different things for everybody else. It's time now. The time has come that we can no longer afford to do those kinds of things. And I want to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The newest member, Wisconsin's Utility Regulating Agency, runs an organization that represents utility regulators in more than a dozen Midwestern states. Marcus Hawks replaces Tyler Huebner. State Senate Republicans fired Huebner in January. Senate Republicans have fired 21 of Governor Evers' appointees since he took office in 2019. March is National Social Worker Month. One of the biggest challenges facing social workers today is clients dealing with housing insecurity.
We work with a lot of families where they're housing insecure. They don't have access to affordable and timely services and treatment.
Sean Lazarus helps families with kids in the juvenile justice system. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Lake Superior College's new library is officially complete. According to a Fox 21 report, the school has reopened the library following a $2.3 million renovation. The freshly renovated Harold P. Erickson Library now features a tutoring and learning center, student support services, and 10 study rooms. School officials are hoping that having all of those services in a central location now, instead of scattered around the campus, will encourage more people to use them. The library will also be open to the community. A popular golf magazine has dubbed Wisconsin as the state with the best public golf courses in the country. According to their article, three Wisconsin courses were ranked in the top 20 of their best public golf courses list: Whistling Straits in Sheboygan, Erin Hills Golf Course in Hartford, and the Sand Valley Golf Resort in Nakusa. 10 Wisconsin courses made the top 100 list overall. This is the first year that the publication has done a separate state ranking for public golf courses and private golf courses. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. Only a pro would mind being upstaged by a fellow actor and dog. Mark Wahlberg cedes the spotlight in his newest film to a beautiful Australian Shepherd Border Collie in Arthur the King. To make things even more challenging, Wahlberg is allergic to dogs. You might say, big deal, he's getting paid a lot of money, which is exactly what I thought, until I learned he has four dogs at home, glutton for punishment or taking one for the team. Arthur the King hits theaters March 15th. It's time for one of Pete's picks. If you didn't see it in time for the Oscars, like me, check out the film Past Lives. It's a small film that may not scream Oscars, but is a touching story about two friends who were separated as kids in Seoul, South Korea, and reconnect years later in New York. The film is very sweet, takes its time, and there is almost no tension. A very easy, or dare I say, pleasant watch. Past Lives is available to stream on Paramount+. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny today with a high of 53 this afternoon. The wind out of the north becoming west at 5 to 15. Tonight, breezy, 38. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, windy, cooler, 47. And then it's going to get even colder Sunday. Windy, partly cloudy with a high Sunday of only 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so in love are we two that we don't know what to do.
the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Wim. So, Sandy, before we, took a short break, I was asking you, about, is it time now? You know, we've been supporters of many nations across the globe for decades now, and almost a century, and we can't do it anymore, can we?
Well, I'm not sure we ever could, but back in the Cold War era, the world was divided into two parts, and it was much easier to identify where our interests lie and where it wasn't. Okay, and we didn't spend any effort or time with respect to that area of the world where our interests didn't lie, which was a vast portion of the world. It was China. It was the Soviet Union, which comprised lots of what is now Eastern Europe, and so the world looked different, and we were helping Europe climb out of World War II, and we were doing it much to our profit, actually, because we were selling many things to them as we financed them and helped finance them climb out of World War II. So things were different. But, the collapse of the Soviet Union brought on in the 90s this notion, this so-called neoconservative issue associated with the viewing the world as being a place where now there was only one major power, it was us, and we could essentially spread democracy throughout the world and police the world. And that's where the fallacy began, I think, where we decided that we could exercise our might any place we chose, every place if necessary, and it was going to be designed to promote, quote, democracy, unquote. Number one, we've never exercised our muscle in that way or for that purpose successfully. We said we were doing it in Iraq. We left Iraq in collapse. We said we were doing it in Afghanistan. Afghanistan collapsed. Our Vietnam adventure was simply that, a terrible misadventure. And so we haven't made our decisions very well with respect to this exercise of the neocon power. But furthermore, we need to actually analyze what is of critical interest to the United States. Now, my concern about the current Republican version of what is called isolationism is that it might simply be isolationism, or it might be kowtowing to the power of authoritarians around the world. And that's different than what would be Henry Kissinger's view of the world, which is a real politic view, which is to evaluate America's real interest in various parts of the world and to make sure that we only took action in areas that reflected a critical interest to the United States. And I said at the time when the invasion of Ukraine occurred and we began to back them so mightily that it would be a problem if Ukraine was not a matter of critical interest to the United States, which I don't think it was. And because it wasn't, how resolute we would be in our support of Ukraine would be tested, and we could fail. And here it is, our level of how resolute we are in our defense of Ukraine is being tested, and we are maybe failing, which is worse, really, than starting out with support or not starting out with support to avoid the support in the beginning and not put Ukraine through what they've been through because of the fact that we have made it possible.
So let me ask you, Sandy. So during your and my lifespan, we certainly looked at our nation as, the great protector. We looked at our nation as one that would, whether we were right or wrong, we certainly were going to be someone who was going to be heard of. We're going to be the nation, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And so in your and my lifetime, that's the way it always was.
Well, we always said that, okay? And
right.
We only exercised that once, I think, and that was in in the Korean War. In World War II, we were sort of dragged kicking and screaming into World War II. I mean, we were sitting on the sideline until Pearl Harbor happened, and that forced our hand. But otherwise, we're going to treat it like we did World War One. In World War One, we waited till the 11th hour to, we were the cavalry that came at the 11th hour to save the day. And that's where we're going to be in World War Two as well. But yes, we've always talked about being the white knight to the world. However, our deeds have not always reflected that. And our capacity to be our white knight to everyone is severely limited. We can't accomplish it. You know, we can't. And, you know, that's why the United Nations was created, to try and create a vehicle for sustaining the law of order and the rule of law around the world. And the United States can't really replace it.
Well, because, Sandy, it's at the expense of the American people. And I don't know if... Does it sound like I'm supporting the Republicans and not supporting Ukraine? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we can no longer spend almost $1 trillion for what we're doing with the military. And I'm just sorry for those who believe that we have to do these things. We can't do both anymore.
Well, I think we have to have a fundamental debate about what our foreign policy needs to be and what our real strategic interests
should
are.
Should the American people be included in the discussion? Because normally we don't.
Well, I think
we're not privy to.
I think we have to be to some extent. I think that it needs to be the subject of debate in presidential elections. We need to discuss it because what's happening now is that it's just happening, and it's happening, and we're being told about it. And, you know, for instance, to the extent that backing Ukraine in the first place was a mistake, ceasing our support of Ukraine now would be compounding that mistake. Okay, it would be making the mistake even larger. And so I think that our foreign policy has not been well handled for quite a long time, through many decades and through many administrations and through both parties. And I think that our foreign policy needs to be brought back to a discussion where the people can understand what's going on, and we can begin to affect it, and we can begin to put reins on it so that we only are exercising America's power and spending our American money where it is we find that America has a real strategic interest.
Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Hey, welcome back, Tom. You say what?
Hey, Earl. I just wanted to first off say thank you to you and to Tammy Baldwin, because 2 weeks ago, after 30 years of not being able to give blood because I'm a gay man, I was encouraged by you and civic media to give blood. And I did it 2 weeks ago, and now I'm sitting at the Red Cross right now giving platelets also for the next 2 hours. And I just wanted to thank you for that. And second, Sandy, we did agree with the Budapest Accord, so I have to push back on the whole thing with Ukraine, because if we said that they needed to give up their nuclear armament, and they did, and that was an agreement, then we have to be there for them. And you know me, I'm not a person that believes in the military-industrial complex, but we need to really help these people in Ukraine, or Putin will take over Poland, and Putin will take over other places. And if we get Donald Trump back in office, Putin will basically just get the keys from Donald Trump and open the door and say, come on in.
So Tom, why is it just the responsibility of America?
Well, I think Tom is referring to a particular agreement, Budapest Accord, which was not a treaty, but it was an accord. And both Russia and the United States agreed that we would protect the Ukrainian sovereignty if they gave up their weapons. Now, the reason both sides wanted them to give up their nuclear weapons was that at the time, Ukraine was viewed as such a corrupt and almost ungoverned new country that they thought it would be dangerous for them to hold the weapons, not because the country itself would use them, but because they would get sold and put in the hands of terrorists around the world. But yes, you know, I question, however, the series of events that led up to the invasion and what the United States, what the role was of the United States in 2014 and the Maidan, et cetera. But what I'm saying is that I think it would be a bigger mistake to stop giving aid to Ukraine now than it was in terms of the positions we took in 2014. We sort of set the ball rolling, and somehow the United States now needs to be responsible and accountable. If we aren't, we are going to have a problem in the world with our allies and with the reliability of the United States and with how our adversaries view us.
And I do think that it's trust that's broken down because of the fact that we go into places like Iraq and Afghanistan and we do illegal wars by George War Criminal Bush. And then when there's actually things that might threaten people in a major way, now all of a sudden that trust is broken. But we don't need to be spending trillions of dollars on the military-industrial complex. But I think the most we've given Ukraine is $3 billion, if I'm not if I understand that correctly.
No, Ukraine has received
40, I think.
They've received, I think, $60 billion at this point.
Right.
And we're now proposing they get another $60 billion. In the proposal from Biden that has been docked because of the border issue.
Hey, Tom.
The bottom line is, I believe in peace. But Earl, thank you again for the pushing the blood donation, because I feel like I'm saving lives here.
Hey, all right, man. Thank you. Keep up the good work as far as that goes. You know, here's Sandy with Ukraine. Pope Francis wants Ukraine to surrender. That would give Russia a green light for endless wars, is the response by this writer, Natalie Tucci. But the Pope is saying Ukraine should surrender.
Well, I don't think what he said was surrender. I think what he said was that Ukraine needed to negotiate. With the concept of possibly giving up some of its territory.
What you suggested.
Well, I think there's always been it. The whole situation there has been pregnant with that extreme probability, and in fact, early on in the war, Blinken said that basically Crimea was off limits in terms of being able to recover it from Russia. So I think the United States has always had the position that Ukraine would be essentially recognizing the accession of Crimea. And maybe even parts of the Donetsk by Russia.
844-967-2789. Hang on the phones. We'll return.
So in love.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger,
for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on Lake Air, 1260 AM, 107.5 FM, WLAK.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, say, wait a minute. Where are you going with that suitcase? Hey, wait a minute. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. So it's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And we were discussing prior to going to the break, you know, whether or not America can continue with its role of, you know, the being a watchdog for all these other nations. And let's go to the phone lines. And Scotty and Racine, good morning to you. Scotty, you say what?
Oh, hey, good morning. Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
I would say that, yeah, America's role in the world is kind of being the policeman of the world, if you will, in a way, you know. And I had an old boss that said, yeah, it's kind of true, but the truth is, too, somebody's got to do that. You know, who's going to do it if not us, in a way? And if we think about Russia, it's been a terrorist state for ages. You know, people think when the Cold War ended, like, they became civilized democracy. No, look at Syria. Syria was an open wound on the face of the earth for ages, and nobody did anything about it. They were bombing hospitals in Syria for ages. And now it's spread to Ukraine. And if we think about, you know, the horrible lives lost in Ukraine, the battlefield, some of the money that we're spending, everything, oh, we're spending all this money in Ukraine. It's not like we're writing a check to the Ukrainian government with all those these billions of dollars. That money goes to replenish the stockpile of armaments we're supplying. That money goes to United States war production. So I wanted to point that out. Anyway, you guys have a great day.
Scotty. So you think we only make up 4% of the global population. And so you're saying that it's our responsibility to deal with the issues of the other 96%?
Sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes. If we think about it, yeah, we're a small percentage globally of the population. How much wealth do we have? How much power do we have? If you think about the size of our military budget compared to the rest of the world, well, obviously, we're the big dog on the planet. Nobody's going to mess with the USA. Do you think anybody really wants to stand up to the military might, including Vladimir Putin? I mean, he's terrified of NATO. And by the way, Russia is a failing state as well. So I'd point that out.
All right. You make it pretty simplistic, Sandy. We've got the big stick.
Well, I do agree that we need to exercise our might where it's important to us. I think the real issue is to deciding where it's really important to us. And I think we have to be realistic about the situation in other countries. And, you know, I don't think it would be correct to say that Russia was a terrorist state upon the end of the Soviet Union. I think there was a decade there where Russia was teetering and had the capacity to be totally westernized or to be isolated. And I think it spent the first decade of the 20th or the 21st century with Putin in charge trying to decide which choice it was going to make. And unfortunately, by about 2010, it had decided to choose isolation. Now, I'm not sure it chose that unilaterally. I think that the NATO failing to invite it into NATO and that whole process played a role in it. But the world is much more complicated than was described, and the situation in Syria didn't go on for decades. That's not the case. Syria was a problem, and of course, we have exercised our might in the Mideast in a variety of ways that are highly suspect. And so I just think that world affairs are much more complicated. And what we need to do is not dumb it down, but we need to have a broad and reasoned discussion to try and have the people understand what it is that America needs to be doing and what it doesn't need to be doing.
You know, Sandy, you hit it the nail on the head. We've got to stop acting like the rest of the world is bad. We're good. We're good. So whatever we do, we have the right to do it because we're good and the rest of the world is bad. It's not that simple, is it?
No, the world is nuanced. Everything is nuanced, okay? And that's the problem. We fail when we discuss it, and I think we fail when we try to understand it, to take into account all the nuances of the situation. You know, the situation of, for instance, of someone like Erdogan, the head of Turkey, and with the role that Turkey has and why it is they might exercise the role they exercise. You know, at the Straits of Bosporus on the Black Sea, they have a very critical position. But it's a neutral position. It's one that exists between the East and the West. We just need to be taking into account situational issues that relate all around the world, and so that we don't back into huge problems like, for instance, what's one that's now a back burner problem. I hope it stays there. Taiwan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, and I understand Scotty, but what I would say to Scotty is, let's first take care of home. Let's first make sure that we do the best we can to make sure that the American people get a fair shake and that they come first. Am I sounding like Donald Trump?
No, I think what we need to do is make sure we have our priorities straight. I mean, if we faced a world enemy that really put the American security at risk, we would put all of our bets on that. We would spend a lot of money to avoid that. But we aren't currently facing that kind of circumstance. And if we describe a circumstance like that, it will be one of our own making in all likelihood. Nobody is out there trying to take over the United States or to attack the United States, just like Scott said. China isn't going to do that. And so we shouldn't, as an American people, believe that we should be worrying about the homeland here. We should be worrying about our critical interests around the world and trying to figure out what they are.
All right. We'll leave it there. That's Sandy Williams, and Sandy, we'll see you again on Tuesday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Luke. Up next, Jane Madnair and Chris Bosch, Madnair on Air. Have a great weekend. See you guys on Monday.
Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Tune in. Fridays are your favorite. Dom lets down his hair. We air the Friday grievances and the devil's advocates play across the network 4 to 6 p.m.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News Georgia election case. I'm Brian Clark. A judge ruled that